Matthew 6:6 says, "But thou, when thou prayest," somebody say pray.
"Pray.
And into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray," somebody say, "when I pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do." Somebody say, "That's not me." "For they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." I'm going to be preaching from this next scripture setting. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch, and the same with thanksgiving." Tell your neighbor, continue in prayer. I want to talk to you tonight on this thought: persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. For those of you who are taking notes tonight, Colossians 4:2 in the Amplified Version is kind of where I will launch. It says, "Be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer," parentheses life, "being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving." The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Colossians. He writes it to the people that are in Colossae. Colossae was part of what in Bible times as the tri-cities. There was three cities. One that starts with an H that I can't pronounce. And then there's Colossae. And then there's Laodicea. They were all together. Colossae was a smaller city. Paul was in prison when he wrote this book. And in fact, it is believed that he wrote the book of Colossians around the same time period as he wrote Philemon. And when he, and Ephesians, and you notice some of the similarities in writing. Now those of you that are taking notes, Bible study, this is, I think, something pretty interesting. The Apostle Paul never actually visited Colossae. He never met the Colossians. This was a letter that he wrote because one of his disciples, which has a name that I can't pronounce, but it's Brother E. We'll just say his name is Brother E. And he was a convert of probably, when we read in Acts chapter 19, might be right around verse 10. He was a convert of Paul's ministry, and so he goes back and he shares the gospel. In fact, and we're going to read here in a little while where Paul talks about him, but these folks obviously had some faithfulness, because the scripture tells us in Colossians 1:2, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul obviously had heard of them, because in Colossians 1:4, he says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints." And so they were converted by the ministry, or a disciple of Paul, or a convert of Paul. The church and or the Colossians were converted. And we'll see this in Colossians 1:6-8. It says, "Which is come unto you as it is in the world, and bringeth forth fruit," or the gospel, "as it doth also in you." Notice this: "Since the days you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, also ye also learned of," and then there's Brother E, "our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." And some of you that maybe have visited this area, Colossae is about 100 miles or so from Ephesus. And when Paul is writing this, he's giving a reminder or reference to ensure that everything we have and everything we will need can be found in Jesus Christ. In fact, in Colossians 2:6, the scripture says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And I like this part: "Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein. Somebody say with thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Beware lest any man spoil through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. It's powerful there. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete. Somebody say in him. In him, which is the head of all principality and power. So I'm going to talk tonight about persistence in prayer. There's an author, he makes a statement. He says the greatest, one of the great tragedies of life is not an unanswered prayer, but an unoffered prayer. And in fact, it's not the fact that prayers don't get answered, but many a case rather that people aren't praying. And I haven't preached or talked about prayer in a while. And prayer is instead of something that we do every day, like breathing and eating and walking, talking. Somebody say, I'm brushing your teeth. It's sometimes like that little glass box in a building that says break in case of an emergency. Sometimes we treat prayer that way, that we pray when there's a crisis or we need something or our back is against the wall. It ought not to be if we pray, but it ought to be when we pray. It's very common, myself included, for us to say, well, let's pray about it. Anybody ever hear that? Or know somebody that knows somebody that's ever said that? Help me out. But how many of us are oftentimes actually wonder if they've been praying about it? Yeah. Well, so when Paul talks about saying continue in prayer, when you look at that word continue, it means to be persistent or to be devout. When something is persistent, it's the act of persisting. It's action. It's where we get our word perseverance or steadfastness. So when he says continue in prayer, he says to be devout, be persistent in your prayer, be persevere. When something is persistent, it is continued. It is constantly repeated. It is enduring with tenacity. And so you cannot, listen to Pastor, you cannot be a Christian and not pray.
Amen.
I know that may mess somebody's theology up and offend somebody, but it's like you can't have a good marriage if you don't talk to your spouse. Somebody say, well, that's why I have a good marriage. Well, it might be one-sided. But you can have a relationship with somebody or cohabitate with somebody, but it's not going to be a thriving, fruitful relationship. And it's the same thing. In that circumstance, you'll be dysfunctional. There'll be no unity. You won't be on the same page. You'll ultimately become miserable and separate. And our scripture text tonight tells us to continue in prayer. Be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life. I got 2 points tonight. The first point is devote yourself to prayer. When somebody is devoted, they're zealous or they're loyal. I like that word loyal. I mean, or they're committed. Another term, if you look at that word devoted, it says to be faithful or to be to set apart or be dedicated. We need a place and a time to pray. I have this principle, and I've shared it with you before, but I'd like to share it with you again. We need a specific place and a specific time to pray every single day. And you decide the place and you decide the time. But I have found that if you have a specific place and a specific time to pray, your chances of missing out on prayer is very minute. In fact, it is something I remember, when I was in secular employment before I became full-time in ministry, I would go away on maybe on a business trip. And I do remember that some of my peers, they were into working out. Now, I wasn't into working out physically, but I was into working out spiritually. And, but they would bring their workout clothes to wherever we were, whether we were in Dallas or in Chicago, they would bring their workout clothes. And, I would get up and I would go down, to breakfast, cause I was an early riser, and they'd be in the gym at whatever hotel we were at, or if we were at the corporate office, they had a little workout area, and they'd be in there working out. And, because they were dedicated to working out. Now, I know that some of us, there's times that we skip a meal, and that happens, but, there are very few of us that skip meals all day long, 24/7, 7 days a week. We need to eat. And so we eat. Some of us have, times on our job, where you have to take your lunch break or your dinner break, your meal break, as they call it, at a specific time, or you become in violation.
Yeah.
Right?
Right? You become in violation of either company policy or the state law. And so you have to have regular intervals of taking a break. Well, it ought to be the same thing spiritually, where we have a regular interval. We have a specific time and place or location where we pray, and we need to be devoted. We need to be persistent with our prayer. That's why the scripture says in James 5 and 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you look at that word fervent, it's prayer that is an action. It's ardent or devoted. It's the eager prayer. It's the person that says, you know, I'm going to pray whether I like it or not, but I'm going to pray. When you have a specific time and location to pray, it becomes part of your spiritual DNA. It's just the only way I can break it down. It's just like drinking water or brushing your teeth before you leave the house in the morning. It's just what you do. In fact, Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 and 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice this. And watching thereunto with all perseverance. Persistence in praying is not quitting. Persistence doesn't cheat. Persistence is an act. Persistence requires action. It requires doing. Prayer requires us doing something. It requires us talking to the Lord. Now, I want to just kind of just walk through this. Do you not eat when you go out of town? Sometimes we eat more when you go out of town, right? Praise God. Can't you tell? Amen. Pastor, you look like that last week. What are you talking about? But do you not breathe when somebody makes you mad? Well, I'm not breathing today. They made me mad. Hold your breath. See how long that works. Do you not drink water when you're on vacation? Do you quit sleeping when you stumble or fail? You fail at your job. You just say, "Oh, I'm not sleeping for the rest of my life. That's it. I'm staying up all night." No, you get up. You move forward. You eat. You sleep. You breathe daily because it's vital and necessary for you to live. Same thing with our prayer life. It takes devotion. Notice this. Two of the most instructive parables that Jesus ever told us about prayer, one in Luke chapter 18, have to do with being persistent and not giving up. Notice this, Luke 18 and 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always, to pray and not to faint. So this is Jesus telling us this. And then he goes on to tell us about the demanding widow or the widow that is importunity of the widow. He goes on to tell us in Luke 11, Jesus answers a disciple's question. In Luke 11 and 1, notice this. And it came to pass that as he was praying, it's powerful. Just Savannah, it's powerful. Jesus prayed in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Notice this. And then he begins to tell them about being persistent. Luke 11 and 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, somebody say, receiveth. You know, maybe you're not receiving because you're not asking. You have to pray and ask in order to receive.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
And he that seeketh, findeth. Maybe you're not seeking. In fact, the scripture tells us, seek me and you shall find me. When you shall what? Seek for me or search for me with all of your heart. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Notice this. Persistence in prayer unlocks the promises of answered prayers. You can't get answers if you're not praying. Notice the tenses. T-E-N-S-E-S of the verbs. Notice this. Asking, seeking, knocking. Notice it's perpetual. You gotta keep doing it. It's relentless. You don't just ask, you keep asking. You don't just go one time and ask. You don't go one time and just seek. You don't go one time and knock. You're persistent about it. In fact, Jesus talks about this and tells us in a different way. And he calls it abiding. Notice in what is it in John 15 and 4? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Notice this. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Abiding means to remain. Abiding means to continue. It means to stay. It means to dwell. When you are persistent in your prayer, you're abiding. When you are persistent in your prayer, it's called being steadfast. Persistence in prayer doesn't quit when you get mad. Persistence in prayer doesn't stop praying. Or doesn't pray when it's not a church day, or doesn't pray when everything is all good. Persistence in prayer doesn't say, well, I don't have to pray because I'm on vacation. Does the devil take a vacation? Do your problems take a vacation? You're all, well, I wish they would. Does your bills take a vacation? A person with the characteristics of being persistent in their prayer life, notice this, they pray regardless. Do you pray regardless? Even when people think you're crazy, they say, well, Pastor, that's all the time. Even when they say, well, why waste your time? Pray. Hannah demonstrated praying even when the man of God judged her and said, you're drunk. Remember? 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you're taking notes, 1 Samuel 1 and 12, it says, and it came to pass as she continued praying. 1 Samuel 1 and 12. As she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli, or the man of God, marked her mouth. Our persistence in praying is an expression of our faith in that God answers our prayers. You know that it's impossible to please God without faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So let me just tell you this, that an unanswered prayer is an answered prayer. Think about it. That's an answer. No's an answer too. Right? Well, because we're quick on the draw, right? Oh Lord, I want your will. He says, well, your will is, or my will is no. You're like, oh, you know, because I really wanted that relationship to work out. Because, you know, he had everything or she had everything I wanted. And the Lord's like, nah. Because grandma's been praying long before you've been praying. And that dude is bad news. And you got to kick him to the curb. And you're heartbroken. But that's an answered prayer. Because the Lord is saying, you know, I may not answer your prayer the way you want. But I got grandma's prayer over here that I got to answer. Or there's something. I got to close one door, which is an answered prayer. So I can open up another door, which is an answered prayer. Thank the Lord for prayers that didn't get answered the way we thought they should have been, because they spared us some trouble. They kept us out of some places that had we known. You know, there's a lot of things that he does unbeknownst to us. Right? Unbeknownst to us, he's doing things. We have no clue. He's answering prayers. A delay in a prayer being answered isn't necessarily a denial. It's just not a right now. It's just a hold it. It's tied up. Because there's been times that I've prayed for something, and 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 a year later I'm still praying for something, and he answers the prayer. And when I go back and look at a year before, I say, wow, I wouldn't have been able to handle what I thought I could handle with what I was praying about a year ago. But I can handle it now. Amen. It could have destroyed me. Things weren't aligned properly. Thank the Lord that there's been some delays in our prayers. But you know what? We just keep praying. We just keep believing that the Lord is going to answer. Delays in prayer is just not a right now. The time's maybe not right, but maybe later. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Because I want the will of God in my life. We need the will of God to be manifested in our life. Amen. So I'm going to be committed to a daily prayer life. I'm going to be persistent with my prayer life. I'm devoted to my prayer life. How many are devoted to your relationship with your spouse? Right? You're devoted, right? How many are devoted to your job? Yeah? Well, you go whether you feel like going or not, right? Yeah. Because you got to eat. So we need to be, listen to Pastor. We need to be devoted with our prayer life, no matter how we feel and no matter what the day looks like. I know you say, well, Pastor, you preach about prayer more than anything else. Because if we can get the revelation of what I'm preaching, your walk with God will be a lot more smooth, a lot less frustrating, because you'll pray the flesh out. You'll purge some things out. You'll pray some people out of your life.
Yeah.
Amen.
You'll pray some things into your life.
That's right.
Because you're persistent.
Yes.
A time where we spend quality, uninterrupted prayer with the Lord. Where we bear our burdens. Where we bear our intentions, our ambitions, our thankfulness. When was the last time you prayed? Because you should be starting off your prayer with thanksgiving. But when was the last time you instead of just spending most of your time on, Lord, I need, just thanking God for all that He has done. Just thanking Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, notice this, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody say concerning me. One of the misconceptions, one of the tricks that I have seen in ministry in regards to prayer is that you have to like it. Fall asleep when you pray. Oh, I gotta pray. But just because you don't like something doesn't mean it's not good for you. Right? Just because you love doing something doesn't mean it's good for you. Right? Some of us love to eat. Right? We love to eat ice cream 3 times a day if you could. Right? With all the toppings. But that's not good for you. Right? We'd love to go to work and get paid $1 million an hour and just show up for lunchtime, right? Some of us love recess and lunch at school, right? We got an A+ in recess and lunch. But that didn't help us any. Well, maybe it did. But the way to obtain a spirit of prayer is to pray. The way to sustain your walk with God is to pray. The way to get answers to your prayers is to pray. Notice this. The way not to yield into temptation is to pray. To feed the spiritual man and purge out the flesh. Notice this, Matthew 26 and 41. Jesus says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Notice that part when he says that you enter not into temptation. He doesn't say that there will be no temptation. He doesn't say that you're not going to be tempted on your job or on your finances or in your health or with addiction. He says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The reason why some of us or folks enter into temptation is because you're not praying. Right? That's the bottom line. You're not praying. Temptation is an act. It's the act of tempting. It's the enticement. It's the allurement. It's what we could break down and use the word. It's the solicitation. It's like bait on a mousetrap. You're tempted to go get that whatever that cheese is, and then the mousetrap gets you, and before you know it, you're in a bad situation. That's why he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So that means, Pastor, you're saying, I need to pray even when I don't want to pray, even when I'm sick in bed, you need to pray. You need to talk to the Lord every day.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So I need to pray when I don't feel good. You pray when you're happy. You pray when you're sad. You pray when you're sick. You pray when you're lonely. You pray when you got so much money in your pocket and your health is good. Your marriage is good. You pray when everything is right and everybody's health is good. And you pray when everything is out of control and you don't know what to do. You got to be persistent in your prayer life. You pray and you pray and it doesn't have to be 10 hours all day long. Praying and walking down the street, praying. No, it's a pattern. It's a mindset that, you know what? I pray. I eat. I drink. I go to the restroom. I breathe. I talk. I sleep. And I pray.
Amen.
You pray as if your life depends on it.
That's right.
Because your life does depend on it.
Amen.
Romans 12 and 12 says, continuing instant in praying. When you break it down in the New Living Translations, it says, and keep on praying. Point two is, prayer is for everybody. It's for everyone. Everybody prays. Tell your neighbor, everybody prays. Colossians 4 and 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul was writing and telling everybody, continue in prayer, be devoted, be steadfast, be faithful in your prayer. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 141 and 2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense. That's what it is. It's an incense to the Lord. Continue in prayer means that we could fulfill the duties or the will of God and have an understanding for the day. Because the scripture says this is the day that the Lord has made. How can we make good decisions, be spirit led, have the will of God, or know what the purpose is for our life or for the day, if we're not engaging in contact with the one that this is the day that the Lord has made? How can you walk in blessings and dominion and authority and anointing if you're not praying? Just asking for a friend. How do you stay filled up or spiritually in tune daily if you're not praying? Because this isn't just about the wonderful people that you see on the platform or in Sunday school or the beautiful family of believers that are here for Wednesdays and Thursdays and twice on Sundays. This is This is about us with a daily relationship with the Lord. Oh, and by the way, with a relationship with one another. Because everybody prays. So, where do you pray? It's a rhetorical question. Do you have a place of prayer? Do you have a time of prayer? Do you pray? How often do you pray? If you're kind of struggling with these questions, well, pick up the mantle, get the baton, start tonight. Psalms 55 and 16 says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Notice this, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray, and he shall hear my voice. Has anybody ever said, "I want to be more like Jesus"? Anybody said that? Well, Jesus prayed. Mark 1:35. Notice this. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day." For all you morning people, Jesus was a morning person. "And he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there he prayed." Solomon, the great wise king, prayed. 1 Kings 8:22, "And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands towards heaven." Verse 28 says, "And he began to pray, 'Ye have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to this supplication of the Lord, my God, to hearken unto the cry,'" notice this, "'and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today.'" The church prayed. Acts 12:5 tells us that prayer was made without ceasing. Notice that. Ceasing, continuance of the church unto God for him. So prayers for everybody. We ought to be continuing prayer. Even if the results are not what you thought they should have been. Pray with a passion and an awareness. Don't just rattle with repetitive words. Go back and listen to the sermon series from earlier this year or last year about prayer. Pray that God will use you. Pray that God will help others. Pray for your friends. Let me, something very profound. I got right at maybe 10 minutes max. Something very profound. Job 42:10. If you're taking notes, look at this. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." Powerful. Notice what happens. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I hope I'm your friend. Hope you're praying for me. Because you can be blessed. It's a principle there. Pray that God will bless others. Yeah. Even pray for your enemies and your haters. Yeah. Look what the scripture tells us in Luke 6:28. "Pray for them which despitefully use you." Yeah. Notice this. In the Amplified Version, "Implore God's blessing or favor upon those who abuse you, who revile, reproach, disparage, and high-handedly misuse you." Jesus says, pray for them. Because we all need prayer. And nobody's above prayer. And we need prayer more than we realize. Praying will keep you saved. Anybody want to stay saved? It'll keep you saved. Praying, it aligns our heart with God. It puts us in adjustment or alignment, setting our thoughts and emotions in actions. Praying will help us with that. Notice this. Proverbs 4:23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You pray. You get your heart right and you keep your heart right. It'd be a lot easier to deal with people and to live for God. Ellen will begin to make her way. Praying will help you stay humble. It'll keep you humble. It'll help you maintain a right spirit. It'll help you overcome your fears when you're persistent in your prayer. Psalms 34 and 4 says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Pray that God would help you lead you to people. Pray that you can become a better disciple and sustain your walk with God. Praying will unleash the anointing. And we know what the scripture tells us in Isaiah 10 and 27 that the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. We need to pray because there's an active spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. And we need God's guidance. We need Him to lead us. And a person that is persistent and has a daily consistent prayer life has a real relationship with the Lord versus somebody that doesn't pray at all and doesn't talk to the Lord, doesn't read their Bible, and is just a Christian in name only. But let's pray. Persistent prayer will give you strength for your journey. Notice this, Colossians 1 and 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you may be filled with knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I like this part. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The book of Acts church prayed. Scripture tells us in Acts 1 and 14, these all continued in one accord in prayer. We're the continuance of the book of Acts church. So we need to pray. It was the continue prayer or the devoted prayer that led to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It was in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And then you look at Acts chapter 2, right around verse 42, and it says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in prayers. It's praying. So part of being child of the King is having the advantage of talking to the King. We stand tonight. I like what the apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4 and 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober. I love this part. And watch unto prayer. Just building upon one another of praying. So tonight we've been challenged about praying and prayer. And what better way to end this wonderful Bible study and church service than to pray and to talk to the Lord and to find a place at the altar or find a place at your chair and just have a talk with the Lord for the next 5 to 10 minutes before you go home and just thank the Lord and worship the Lord and believe God would help us. How many want to draw closer to the Lord tonight? How many need God to do something? How many have something you can thank the Lord for? Can we come and talk to the Lord tonight in prayer? Sister Ellen blesses us with song and talk to Jesus tonight and be persistent in our prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for your love tonight, oh God. That's it, young people. That's it, mom and dad.
I worship elders, you because
ministry team, leadership, prayer team, RT kids.
I bow.
Let's pray.
The King,
visitor, let's pray. Hallelujah.
No more crying.
praying.
No more complaining.
I'm talking to you tonight, God. I know there's others that
I
need to talk to
you
about certain things.
But is true.
For the next few minutes, I'm going to talk to you, oh God.
Lord, you promised.
Because God, I could die tonight. This could be very well be the last conversation that I have with you, God. Lord, I've talked to so many people today. All week long, God, we've been talking and talking, listening to everybody, God. But I want to talk to you, Lord.
Lord,
I want you to hear from me.
Trust in
God, you're mindful of
you,
me. You love
Lord,
me.
I will
put you consider me, God.
Lord,
you forgive me of my sins. You're loving. You're long-suffering. You're kind.
To worry.
That's it, RT. Let's lift our voice in prayer. Come on, let's have a 5-minute prayer meeting.